the Holy Bible in 2 Corinthians, we read, quote, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," end quote. Could it be that the heavy hand of government oppression, of ever more tyrannical rule, is a clear sign that the Spirit of the Lord has gone out of America? In a clear, well-reasoned essay entitled Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, you may come to understand at last the exact scriptural principles at work. Principles such as sin and punishment, remorse and repentance, salvation and revival, not only individually, but also nationally, exactly as in biblical times. For the 20-page essay, Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, send a $2 offering in U.S. funds. That's an offering of $2 U.S. funds to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Again, that's Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And thank you.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers this August 3rd, 2019. Can you believe it's August already? Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim from... Well, it's just hot in Nebraska, isn't it?
Yep, hot and wet. Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Hope you have your coffee. Hope you have your Bibles. And we thank you for joining us for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open this morning. If you want to call in, get the buttons pushed. But Jason, would you open us up in prayer first there, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the blessed holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we ask for your blessing upon us, Father. Those of us that are yours, Father, that are bought and paid for with your blood, Father, those that serve you, those that work hard to try to do the right thing. We pray, Father, that you forgive us of our sins known and unknown, that you just continue to guide us and direct us in the paths of righteousness, that you strengthen us, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that you just continue to work in us and through us, Father. Allow us to be the light into a dark world and use us in a mighty and powerful way. War with those that war against us. Deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us. Hold up that shield of faith and extinguish those fiery darts of the evil one. We pray, Father, that you just bind, bundle, and escort to the pits of hell those demonic forces of hell, those spiritual forces of wickedness, those that are irredeemable, Father, those that war against us, those that attack us in all ways, shapes, and forms. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open if you'd like to give us a call. 307-745-5913. And saw a headline this week that kind of caught my eye. You know, when you talk about, we used to, growing up, used to watch TV. Watched the $6 Million Man. And that, you know, they put that out, of course. That was the, you know, the man that they had built with electronics and whatnot, and had made him, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, all that good stuff. But the $6 million, and that used to be a huge fund, a huge amount of money. But what caught my eye this week was an $8 billion amount. And when I looked into it, that is the amount that the company Gillette, that makes razors, that is the amount that they have lost this last year as a result of their, whatever you want to call it, their promoting of filth. They're pushing and promoting the transgenders and wanting to sell their razors to transgenders and making sure that the transgenders buy Gillette razors, and by bashing men. I think we even talked about some of the commercials they had here 6 months ago or so, and how this company had done that. And as a result, the shareholders are a little upset. They've lost $8 billion, at least it's what they report. And saw a blurb this morning, the CEO says, it was worth it. It was worth it. It's worth it to do that. So we'll see how long he lasts, because it's not that we are after the almighty dollar, but boy, shareholders certainly usually seem to be. We saw the same thing happen with Target. We saw Target, stocks plunge when they pushed and promoted the whatever, you know, open bathrooms and their policy of openly promoting and pushing this LGBTQFABCD agenda. And I just wanted to mention it, because it seems to me that just more lines are being drawn. You have these companies that are it sounds good, you know, it sounds good to them, and it may be politically correct for the day, but it's against God. And you know, I God's not mocked. He I think his people have said, we'll buy a different brand. I know we've done that look through, and you know, Gillette's not a brand that we buy. And it's really for that reason.
Yeah. That Antichrist philosophy is not gonna cut it. And anytime you know, that's, God has his own paradigm. And
yes,
it's pretty clear. You have men, you have women, you have good, you have evil. And when you think about that, whenever they come out against those things, they come out against God. That's Antichrist philosophy all the way across the board. And you can't, like our pastor used to say, you can't sin and get by. So
right.
They're just getting what they've got coming to them. At least a down payment on what they've got coming to them.
Well, yes. Yes, hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah, things are just, it seems like, you know, I mean, they're sped up. We've seen that with you know, a lot of these companies, and I mean, even we talked about it about a week or two ago with the Levi's, you know, and it's, you know, it's getting so hard. I mean, it's like, you know, but it's like what Paul talked about, you know, I mean, it's like, how are we going to continue to do business without supporting these companies? There's going to be a time where, you know, there are certain things that that you cannot, you know, support a godly Christian, you know, family-run business. I mean, there's just certain things that you can't find, and it's getting worse, and it's getting harder and harder. Not saying that we don't try, but I mean, it's you know, there's things that you can't go out and you can't buy certain things from you know, a family-run, you know, godly Christian, God-fearing business anymore. And it's sad, you know, when you see places like that, though. I mean, you got to do your best to support them, and you know, try to support the family business. So, you know, I'm a, you know, firm Amen. Believer in that.
Amen. And I like how you mentioned that about Levi's. Don't buy Levi's. Don't buy Levi's. You know, you, Wranglers are good. Carhartt makes a great jean. You know, heck, you can Duluth. Out there in Minnesota, they're not made in the USA. No, they're not. But they're a great jean. You can look online and find jeans made in the USA. They're a little pricier, but there's several companies that do make them. And it's, I like how you mentioned that, Jason. It's choices. You know, you have a choice. And if you see a Masterpiece Bakers down in Denver, or a family. Christian-owned and ran business, no matter what it is, a florist, a barbershop, whatever, support them. Support them. And if it costs a little bit more, that normally that will be a worthwhile investment. It will. It will.
Yeah, it goes back to discrimination. You know, I mean, it used to be a marker or a badge of honor back in, oh, I suppose our grandparents' time to say that, well, he's a discriminating buyer. You know, that meant you were sharp, you were good, you were sharp. Today, the use of that word in anything is considered by mainstream people to be a black mark. But, you know, the truth is, and our pastor talked about it years ago. I tell you what, you can't do anything without discriminating against something else. It doesn't right. matter, and it really doesn't matter what it is. It's a fact of life, and that's another one of those confusion issues that they've tried to throw into the works. You know, I mean, if you buy one brand of peanut butter over another, you've discriminated against the other brand. I mean, if you, you know, if you get up at 7 and go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things. I mean, we go through that every day of our lives. That's really all the only point I was going to make there.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, if you're going to stay away from Levi's and Lee, then you got to stay away from Wrangler as well. Wrangler is also owned by the VF Corporation, which is the same corporation that owns Lee. VF Corporation was named the best place to work for LGBTQ equality. And I mean, you know, you start looking at some of these brands, and it's like, you know, you want to pick one brand or over another, and that's, you know, that's fine and dandy, but, you know, you better, you know, like VFC Corporation, they own North Face, they own Vans, they own Timberlands, they own Wrangler, they own Lee, they own, I mean, and just a whole slew of other clothing companies. So it's, you know, Wrangler's not any better off than, you're not better, any better off buying Wrangler than you are Levi's.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in today's. We've commented on that around our house before, the fact that a lot of those big companies, and I think that's one of the points that you were making, Jason, was the fact that a lot of times you're looking for a smaller Christian company, because the minute you get into some of those big outfits, they all go back to the same cesspool or cesspit. You know, it's just like, and it's interesting how that works.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you look at some of these companies, and it's amazing how some of these corporations just continue to devour these smaller businesses. I was looking in the sporting goods industry, and how many businesses and how many of these things that you go in, you see them in Walmart, you see them in Kmart, you see them in your local sporting goods stores, everything from game calls to clothing to reloading supplies to
yes.
to optics. I mean, it's they're all owned by the same corporation. And, you know, they've just continued to buy up companies and buy up other companies and buy up businesses and, you know, taken, you know, a lot of these family-owned businesses. That's what's been sad is you see them and that they've, you know, built it up to a big business and, you know, then here comes a corporation and they say, you know, hey, you need to sell to us. Well, and the thing is, you know, you really can't blame them for selling it because, you know, they give them an option. You either sell to us or we're going to go into direct competition with you and put you out of business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that used
true.
To be a,
it's a true fact.
That used to be a thing that small businesses, you know, that they'd have it made then. Oh, if we can just get into Walmart, you know, that was the thought. But it was an incorrect thought because once they would do that, get into the big, and then that's what would happen. These, you know, they'd get bought out by these corporations, or they'd. You know, the Walmart policies would drive them out of business. You know, they'd have to be cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Then they have to you know, get it made in China and jump in bed with all the other merchants of the world in having that you know, in having their manufacturing that way. You know, you're absolutely right, Jason. The deeper you dig, you know, the deeper you dig, the more your eyes should be opened, and you know, the more that you see what a mess, and what a conglomeration, this country and this world is in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's that. I mean, those are two of my favorite companies. It's like, you know, I grew up wearing Wranglers, jeans, you know, shirts, you name it. North Face stuff. I love their winter stuff. Fantastic right. stuff, you know, and you see what happens to it, and it's just like, okay. You know, there was a movement, too, just for people that, you know, when Walmart came in to towns, they started, you know, there was a lot of people that completely boycotted it. You know, for years and years and years,
yep.
I remember talking to people when they had some of these Walmarts go into some of these smaller towns in Nebraska. Everybody that was in the community, I mean, they still supported their local hardware store, their local grocery store, their local, and they would come in and try to put in, you know, these super Walmarts where you know, they had the grocery store and the hardware store and just basically everything that you need under one roof. And, you know, it was, they had a hard time in a lot of these communities because people were so dead set against it and, you know, wanted to stay supporting their local businesses. I remember when they put the first one up in northern Minnesota and the town that that I was originally born in and from, and they, you know, everybody, I mean, they banded together and they had meetings on it and, you know, they encouraged people, you know, to stay away from the Walmart. And the Walmart struggled for several years, you know, but as the community grew and as, you know, the more people moved into the area, you know, it's a convenience thing and it's a money thing too. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's, you can save a lot of money, you know, going to Walmart, and Walmart's got, you know, good prices on a lot of stuff. You can, a lot of times, you know, that's what's sad too is you can go to Walmart and you can buy something for $5. You know, and you go somewhere else, you know, to your local hardware store, and it's $10.
Yes.
Yeah, that went on, and it does go on.
Oh, well, and those goes stores on a lot, went on. And it's sad, you know, but it's like, you know, if you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, too, Walmart dictates a lot of their pricing, too, you know, and they're such a big corporation that, you know, and that when somebody wants to get something in, you know, they go in, they negotiate terms on it, they negotiate this, they, you know, have everything, you know, and they get it down to where a lot of these manufacturers, and there's been several documentaries put together on it, where a lot of companies have went broke, dealing with yeah. Walmart, just because they cut their profits down so much where they're barely getting by, but they want to get it in Walmart, and they're going to try to make it up in volume, and then they try to make it up in volume, then they turn around and, get shortchanged, or they're getting, they're selling it on terms, and, you know, they get behind on their, Walmart gets behind on paying their people, paying for their supplies, and the next thing you know, it's instead of 30 days out, they're 60 days out, 90 days out, 120 days out, you know, and some of these smaller companies just can't, they don't have the capital to be able to do that.
Yep, amen. That's a fact. True fact.
Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. This is Ken in Wisconsin. Enjoying your conversation. And I just wanted to add something to it because Jason just almost hit a home run with what I had to say here a minute ago when he was describing who these stores are affiliated with. And now Gillette, he was talking about, is owned by Procter & Gamble, who is that owns just about everything. And it's not hard for me to give up Procter & Gamble products, except for one, of course, their Dawn dishwashing soap, which is the best one out there. It's hard to give that one up, but if push comes to shove. And by the way, I just want to add one more quick thing to what you was just talking about. Between Walmart and these other companies that they're putting out of business, well, Walmart is struggling themselves right now with Amazon trying to put Walmart out of business. And, you know, it's just like, it's almost biblical that these, and just like the Democratic Party is doing right now, they're chewing each other up and spitting each other out. Pretty soon there'd be nothing left of the party. Well, these big corporations are doing the same thing to one another. They're chewing each other up, cutting each other's prices, until all of them are hurting. And pretty soon, even a Walmart can go under because there's stores popping up everywhere around Walmart that's cutting their prices. So it's interesting to watch. It really is.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm enjoying this conversation so much, I said my piece, and I'm going to sit back and listen to the rest of it now. Thank you, guys.
All right, sir. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you all.
All right.
Bye.
You know, he brings up a great point, you know, how Amazon now is competing with Walmart. And I saw something just a week or two ago. You know, the post office now has gone to seven-day delivery. You see postal trucks out on Sundays delivering all day Saturdays now. And on Sundays, and 100 years ago when I was with UPS, I remember when they started Saturday delivery, and it was to compete with the post office. Of course, your Walmarts were there, but there was no Amazon like it is now. But they did. They that's what the people wanted, or at least that's what they thought they wanted, and so they provided it. With that Saturday delivery. Well, it's grown. People will pay for it. You know, charge it. Who cares? And now, post office delivers on Sunday. Amazon just got delivery of, I think the number was about 2,500 delivery vans to where they're going to be directly competing with the Postal Service and UPS and FedEx and DHL and these type of delivery services throughout the week, but also on Sunday. And the UPS CEO announced last week, guess what? Sunday delivery and pickup from UPS. And so, you know, it's just a more. There's no stopping. More. Growing. And it's because of what Amazon has done. And then when you look at who owns Amazon, who runs Amazon, the policies that they have, absolutely. You can save money with it, like you mentioned, Jason, about Walmart. But just picture that, they push all this, everything online shopping. Get it all there. Get it delivered. Drone delivery. Even UPS has its own now drone delivery service that they're testing and have expanded into that. And, Tell me what would happen with a huge EMP strike with all of that. You know, does all that continue on, or does it go boop, 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 and then that's it? And then the employees that UPS has put on to deliver all these Amazon packages, and all the Amazon employees at the fulfillment center, and just, you know, nothing. I think it is biblical.
Yeah, there comes a time of reckoning of that when they do that, because what they do is they can basically, when they become that large and powerful, they can steer manufacturers or the actual creators of goods. They're just merchants. That's all they are. They don't really make anything.
Right.
They just sell stuff.
Right. So, the merchants of the world. Seems like we read about that.
Exactly, and that's kind of where I was going toward. But, you know, when you see that, if they don't want you in business, the first thing they do is start buying stuff from you. And just like Jason said, they hammer you on the price, they hammer you on your pay dates, and eventually they tick up more and more of your production. And when they get to a certain level of your production, all they've got to do is not pay you, have a blip, or stop ordering. And most of these smaller companies, they've got a very limited, you know, lead time and time frame in order to roll over and keep their machinery going and their people going. And they either own you or you know, you're out of business. So it's one of, and we've seen that. If you do a little research, you can see that that's happened time and time again to different manufacturers. That they either didn't want in competition, or they decided they were going to pick up and run them, you know, themselves, or something along those lines. And it's just an ungodly monster that continues to gobble that stuff up.
Yeah, I remember Dad was telling me about a car battery company that was doing business with, I can't remember if it was Walmart or if it was another one of those big corporations, but it was a family-run business, and family-run, family-owned, and, you know, they were pretty much out of debt. They got to the point where they started dealing with some of these big corporations, and their MO was, you know, they come in and they, you know, ramped up, they start buying $10,000 a month, they get up to the point where they're buying $100,000 a month from them. And they're getting $100,000 a month worth of product every month, and they go month after month after month, and then they stop, and they just stop. Well, you know, after you ramp up production, and you're doing that kind of production month after month after month after month, you have to expand, you have to change things, you have to do things differently, and all of a sudden, I mean, you're basically betting on that money coming in every month, and all of a sudden that it's not there. Then you go 2 or 3 months, and then they place an order for, you know, $1 million worth of product. And, well, you know, you can't supply that overnight. Well, okay, well, you know, here's the deal. We're either going to do this, or, you know, or your contract is null and void, and, you know, and then they ended up, and is what happened in this situation. I don't remember the exact details, but they ended up getting the company out of the deal. And, it's stuff like that has happened a lot.
Guys, let's try the phone lines again.
You're right. I think that was.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Joe.
Praise the Lord. He is good.
Amen.
I was thinking a little bit about what the conversation was a few minutes ago about Walmart and other mega corporations like that. And my memory went back to a book I read about 10 years ago called Free Lunch. I don't know if you've any of you guys have ever read that book. If anybody reads books anymore, I don't know. I'd like to read a little bit from it. Free Lunch answers the great mystery of our time. How did strong and growing economy give way to job uncertainty, debt, bankruptcy, and fear of millions of Americans? Acclaimed reporter David K. Johnson reveals how government policies and spending has reached deep into the pockets of many to benefit the top 1% of the wealthiest. He shows exactly who has been getting free lunches from the government, from 100 million to Warren Buffett, 1.3 billion to the owners of the Yankees and Mets. But of course, there is really no such thing as a free lunch. The taxpayer picks up the bill. With in-depth reporting, vivid stories, and sharp analysis, Johnston reveals the forces that shape everyday economic lives and shows how we can finally make things better. So there's your thing in a nutshell there. In the book, I remember reading about Cabela's and how this guy started out as a mom-and-pop venture on the kitchen table selling lures and stuff to he went and bought himself a couple hundred dollars worth of mailing addresses, which you can freely do, I understand. You can actually buy a mailing list of people, prospective customers, and he sold the lures, and he got the phone numbers and the addresses of these people from the money that they sent in, and he had himself a customer base, and he went on from there to be one of the biggest sporting goods outfits in the country. And the reason why he would never have been able to do it had he not had grants given to him and incentives and propaganda too. By the way, there was a psyop on this. They were told in Walmart's case that we were going to bring thousands of jobs to this area. Oh yeah, well, how about the thousands and thousands of jobs that you're responsible for liquidating at your expense? Because they're Fortune 500 companies, they're publicly traded. They have to show a bank they got to be in the black, otherwise they get in big trouble.
Yeah, Joe, I think you hit it just right. I can remember when Walmarts have come into towns, and you know what is the thing that either the state does, and usually they're using federal money to do it. Oh, if you'll come in here, oh, you're bringing jobs, good construction, good. So what do? They get a tax break. That's how they word it. They get a tax break.
They don't pay a thing.
Yeah,
the building is so inexpensively constructed these days.
It is.
There's no brick and mortar. It's all steel and nuts and bolts and glass.
That's right. It's all. Well, Howard Freeman was talking about that just a couple weeks ago. A message that Jason found and brought. Put together for us and brought that, you know, he was talking about that you get this prime real estate, but you have this super cheap place on it. Keeps the taxes
from China.
Yeah, keeps the taxes low. And so when these big places move in, you know, we've noticed it. We talked a couple years ago when Colorado was pushing and promoting these the excessive gun laws and ammunition and magazine capacity bans and things, that there were businesses that moved out of Colorado. They moved to Texas. They moved up here to Wyoming and stuff. And that was all in the news, the state of Wyoming is giving such and such company tax breaks to get them to move there. And you just multiply it times, 100 or 1,000, like you were talking about Warren Buffett and some of these really big companies. But you're right. And one thing that people need to understand is, tax breaks, government-funded, stuff like that, that's taxpayer-funded. That's just more debt. It is more debt on the people. It really is.
Yep. Okay, you guys have a good rest of the day and a better one tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joe, thanks. God bless.
Be blessed. Bye.
Yeah, tax breaks. Tax breaks. Well,
they get their parking lots paved and their sewer run in and their electric run in, and they get their, they get the ground for free. They get all of those things to build those sites there. The mom and pop shop, they get a bunch of permits and zoning ordinances. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to pave their own parking lot. They have to pay taxes. They don't get any tax breaks. It's almost like a conspiracy. almost like a conspiracy. Boy, I saw a good quote from Dr. Ben Carson this week. You know Dr. Ben Carson, he's a black brain surgeon, retired. I think he's the leader, I think President Trump nominated him as the leader of housing and urban development. And you don't hear much from him anymore in the mainstream media. Because I think he's making some changes, and they're making some gains, and it's just kind of been in the background. But Ben Carson, a very educated man, had a quote. He said, "People call you racist when you hold them accountable," and of course, talking about in the public venue and whatnot. But I think that is certainly one of the things we've seen in the media. Oh, you know, it's different cards are played, different bait is tossed out there to see what might bite it, see what might work. And that that racist term has been used for years. You know, I've had people in the ministry, newer people, call recently and say, "What, you know, I'm hearing a lot about racism, and what have you got on that?" And Pastor Peters has several messages and a couple of really good little pamphlets on racism from a biblical standpoint and from how the media pushes and promotes it. But again, that just caught my eye there with Ben Carson. And it had to do with Baltimore. He was going to speak, I think, in Baltimore last week or the week before, and the churches turned him down. You know, he was set to go speak there, and the churches wouldn't let him come speak. And of course, the mayor, you know, it's made it up to, you know, the president's been talking about it, what a cesspool it is, what a rat-infested, horrible place it is. Of course, run by Democrats, run by black Democrats. And the people are suffering there, like they are in the California tent cities, when you see that. And of course, that's where Pelosi is from, and so you see these people the term hypocrite comes to mind. They talk a big talk, but what are they doing? They're pushing and promoting this socialism, and they're living high on the hog, but it's the people that are suffering. And you know, we've talked about Venezuela before. That's a good recent example that it finally, I think, Tim, you mentioned it earlier, there comes a day of reckoning. There comes a day of reckoning. And, you know, that day is coming, and we're seeing it in Baltimore. People are realizing, hey, wait a minute, you're living, you know, you senators and mayors and stuff are living high on the hog. And it is, and even those people have said, you know, what a mess certain areas of that town are and rat infested and all that, and nobody says anything. But when the president states the obvious, states the truth, oh, you're a racist. And we're just seeing that more and more. You know, it was that way with our pastor, and he taught this very thing. He prophesied on this very thing, 25, probably 35 years ago, that you know, that is what the enemy does. See, they call you what they are, and they'll throw that race card out when you go to hold them accountable, when you try to have a conversation with them, when you try to, you know, hold them and say, well, you know, mayor, why are you spending $10 million on this art center over here when, you know, you've got plague infested rats over 2/3 of your city? Oh, you must be racist. You don't like the odds. You must be racist. And we've seen that more and more. It's been kind of, I think, in the background as well. But we're seeing it more and more, and people are seeing that, you know, that those words are just, you know, they're dwindling in their, you know, they don't carry the power and the importance and the definition that they once did.
Yeah, and I, you know, Christ called the hypocrites out. John the Baptist called the hypocrites out. I mean, and you know, they live in walled houses. They decry protecting our country with a wall. They live with millions and millions in the bank. They decry any kind of monetary you know, wealth in anybody's ability, and they're hypocrites. And speaking of that, I change it up just a little bit. I don't know whether you guys had seen that or not, but we had an author and former pastor, Josh Harris. He announced, he wrote that book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye.
I Kissed Dating Goodbye, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 97, yeah. And he just came out here within the last week, and the article I read titled Author Kisses Wife and Christianity Goodbye. And he was a pastor at a church in, I think, Maryland, and he came out and divorced his wife, and he said...
he renounced Christianity also.
Yeah, he did. He said he abandoned Christianity because he can't reconcile the Bible with his current views on sexuality, which include fully embracing homosexuality, bisexuality, and transgenderism. And, wow, talk about a hypocrite. I mean, when you look through this thing, and the thing about it is, I'm going to throw Christianity away because I can't reconcile it with my views. And, you know, the change in that, in God's way of doing things is a change about us. We reconcile ourselves to God's way of doing things, not the other way around. But he knows that. Later on in the article, you know, he was apologizing to everybody on parenting and on Christianity. And he said that one quote in there that left me just, I don't know, it just kind of wowed me, but it was like, he said, many people tell me that there's a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now. To his credit, rather than pretending that his newfound opinions are compatible with Christianity and treating believers in the historic faith as the problem, Harris recognizes that he is the apostate one and is acting accordingly. So, you know, that...
He's truthful there. He's sure truthful there.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And anybody out there listening, if you can't reconcile the sin of today with the Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 6, where it says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's reconciliation. Because our God is a holy God. And when people are living in sin, when they are openly fornicating, they don't inherit the kingdom of God. When you are openly an idolater, an adulterer, a homosexual, an effeminate, covetous, a drunkard, you don't get the kingdom. That means you don't get to go to heaven when you die. You don't get eternity with your loved ones, with Jesus and God. No, none of that. Anything that you think of as inheriting the kingdom of God, okay, you don't get. And the people that are doing that don't get it. The drag queens don't inherit the kingdom of God. They have, it says elsewhere in the Bible, you know what they have waiting for them? The lake of unquenchable fire. Whatever that means, however you want to interpret that. But that's what awaits them. And if you don't like that, well, be like this author. Oh, no, I just think I'll just, you know, I'll think about it, and I just can't reconcile it. Well, good for you. Good for you, because that time is coming for, you know, it says in the old Johnny Cash song, you know, about, hey, let him who is holy be holy still, and let him who is filthy be filthy still. That time is coming. That time is coming. You know, Christ is returning, and when He returns, it's not as a babe in the manger. It's not to say, love, love, love. It's not to forgive the world for their sins. You are forgiven, son. No, that's already been done. When He comes back, read the end of the Bible. Read the end of it. He's coming back on a horse with a sword in His hand to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and to render unto every man according to his deeds. And those that are fornicators and idolaters and effeminate and homosexuals and drunkards and liars. They have no place in the kingdom. And they will be destroyed. They will be like the tares, bound and bundled and burned. And if you can't reconcile that, if you can't see that in the Bible, well, you either need to pray about it or you're just going to be out there. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. And the enemy knows it. The enemy knows it. Jason, you had talked earlier about that article you had about the way back from the 60s. Do you still have that there?
I'll get to that. I don't want to talk about this a little bit more, though. Yeah, because I remember it quite well. That book that Josh Harris published came out 22 years ago. And I remember that whole time quite well, because it was crazy, because even the people in our movement, people at our church camps, were pushing that book, and they were, you know, people were, oh, well, we don't date, we don't date, we don't do this, and you need to read this book, and they were holding this book up. I had several copies that were given to me by people at our church camp and everything. I read the book. I gave the book to Pastor Peters, and we were, both of us read it at the same time. And, you know, he asked me what I thought of the book, and I thought, man, I said, well, I think this guy's probably, well, maybe he's a queer, I don't know. But it was, you know, it was just a bunch of garbage, you know, and it was not based on, everybody tried to say that it was based on biblical principles, it wasn't. You know, and, you know, there was there good information in there? Yes, there was some good information in there. There was a lot of poison in there also. And, that's the way that it worked, you know. But, you know, there was a lot of people that just got completely caught up on that, you know, and you know, we're promoting that book so high and mighty, and it's a dangerous place to be in.
It is. Not many of you be teachers, I think we read, right? We read that, because there's a stricter judgment that comes.
Yeah. Well, quenching the spirit is, you know, it's that unforgivable sin. And I, you know, you see that renunciation there, basically. And he did it, he admits he did it with full knowledge that this is what I want, this is what I like. And, you know, the Bible makes some comments, and I don't have that verse in front of me, but about putting your hand to the plow handle and looking back, being unfit for the kingdom of God, and you see those sort of things. I mean, there. Think of the wreckage behind this man's, wake that he's created as a result of misappropriation of godly principles, of his position, and all of those things. You know, I mean,
I send you that book too, Tim, and have you read it about the same time?
Yep. We all kind of looked it over, and I think we were all shaking our head the same way, going, "No, this is not a godly situation." When you look at it, and you know, the way the world views his words were, what were they? Courtship, right? Wasn't that always his big thing? He was into that, and basically he wanted to make sure that everybody was financially set and that this and that, and it was such a mechanical process involved there. And it doesn't say, you know, in the Bible to let God put people together based on all that stuff. It says whatever God puts together is good. You know, when he puts a man and a woman together, why, it's a good thing. And I think that there, like you said, Jason, you nailed it. There's some good things in there, but there's a lot of poison in there too, and a lot of bitterness involved in it. And I think that, I can remember shaking my head and saying, I don't know, this is not right. I mean, the whole thing was Antichrist, and at the time, and I have to wonder if it wasn't pre-planned all the way back then, you know, to lead everyone down this primrose path and over the cliff. You know, it's just I mean, to me it seems like there's a lot of probably disappointed true believers out there in what this guy was saying and what he was doing. And suddenly we end up in the gay camp or the queer camp. I don't like the word gay. The queer camp. And this is a man who they put on a pedestal and he crashed. So, and he wants to take him with him.
Well, and like you said, it could be one of those things that was set up right from the beginning. Another thing that I wanted to get covered yet in this program is, some of the communistic goals that were published back in 1963. There is 45 communistic goals that would destroy America, and that comes from 63. And just going down the, we'll pick the short list because we don't have time to go down, the whole 45 of them, but, number 15 is capture one or both sides of the political parties in the United States. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. 17, get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers, associations, put the party line in textbooks. 19, use student riots to form public protests against programs or organizations which are under communistic attack. 20, infiltrate the press, get control of book reviews, assignments, editorials, writing, and policy-making positions. 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violating of free speech and free press. And if you go down this list, the bottom line is that, all this stuff was laid out in 1963, and it's happened. And it's one of the things that has happened. This article goes on and on to talk about how back in 63, that's where they decided propagated propaganda came out with to bring in this transgenderism and to teach it to the children. Basically, it's a good read, and I posted it up on the Newswire. But it's we're seeing it. We're seeing this stuff that like Dad used to say, and John says it quite frequently. We play checkers, and they play chess, and they've been playing chess for a long time.
Yep. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was back then one of the first things they did. Well, go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, if you can't see that going on around you today, you need to get some eyes to see with, that's what I was going to say, because it's a roadmap right down the line.
Amen. Amen. What was one of the first things they did back in 63, 64? Took prayer out of school. And, the prayer they took out, I think we've mentioned it before, but it wasn't a big Jesus-invoking type of, real meaty beefsteak prayer. It was, give us a safe day, let us learn, bless our teachers. That was kind of about it. But that was one of the first things as part of this that they did. They had to get that out. They had to stop the people from contacting their God. And they started with that generation. And, that generation is the ones that have that absolutely have pushed and promoted this. And you're right, Jason, when you read through this, and I'm glad you got it posted up, because it is, you see that is what our government, Republicans, Democrats alike, that is what they've done in my lifetime. I was born in 65. And you read through this, it's not what the Democrats have done. It's not, the Republicans have been all saints. No, it's what the ungodly, antichrist political parties in this nation have done. They have weakened the American institutions through the courts. They have gained all the radio and TV. They have eliminated prayer in almost everything. They have broken down the cultural standards of morality. Oh, man, you read this, and it's almost like, what happened? What happened to America? This is what happened. It's by design. It's been by textbook. Oh, it didn't happen overnight, but these things have happened. And I like how you put that, Tim. If you don't have eyes to see it, you need to get some eyes. You need to get to the eye doctor, just like you need to probably get to the heart doctor. and get your heart fixed and get your heart right and get your eyes right to where you can see these things for what they are. And that is the destruction of this new JERUSALEM by the destroyers.
That's right.
It was. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to invite you to church tomorrow with us. You can join us. You know, we do ask if you're going to be at the La Porte Church of Christ physically that you let us know. And many people do that when they're traveling. Maybe they're coming in through Denver or traveling over and they let us know. And we sure appreciate that. So we're not surprised. And but you don't have to drive to La Porte, Colorado to join us at church. You can just click on your computer to scriptures4america.org. Click on starting at 8:30 Sunday morning, 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and again, that's 7:30 on the West Coast. But click on the live video stream, and we'll start a church service, and we'll try to have a little bit of everything for you, but we'll have some sound biblical teachings. We'll talk about maybe some current events, and we'll have a timeless pulpit truth from you that, you know, you may see these very things that are going on today, how they were prophesied, how they were taught to us years and years ago, so we would have understanding, and so that we could be saved from them. We'll have a live message from Brother Jonathan. We'll have communion. And so it is an opportunity for you to gather with like-minded Christians, even if it is across the country, even if it is in a different time zone. We can still do that. And our pastor, in his wisdom, saw that need. That need is still there today. And so he put things in place where this could happen. And so we're sure glad to be able to continue it on. So we do. We invite you to gather with the saints, to come for praise, for biblical teaching, to partake again of communion, to remember what our Lord and Savior did for us on that cross. And the choice is yours. We hope you'll join us. Men, thanks a lot, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.